Thank you, Stephanie. So I get to provide yet another perspective. We've heard from an administrator, we've heard from someone who helps people write impact statements, and I'm one of the poor people like most of you who actually have to do this, and we get this email, and it comes out in January, and we have to submit an impact statement. Actually, I have to do one for the college, I have to do one for USDA, no one tells me why, just needs to get done. As far as I can tell, I send it to the college, and someone in the dean's office puts a check mark behind my name, and I have done my duty. And that doesn't really help us. But I review a fair number of impact statements within the department, and I can tell you I have never seen an impact statement that was written too simple. So Linda was talking about 5th to 8th grade language. Don't see that much in what we write. We're not comfortable writing that way. So what I think we as faculty members really don't hear much about is why we have to write these impact statements. But it's basically we have to convince someone that what we do actually has value. Now, part of the problem that, as a faculty member, that I see with the impact statements that we have to write is that we, at least in my college, we don't get told who we are writing these impact statements for. So I don't know my audience, other than that it goes to the dean's office and they want to have them. So for the administrators in the room, I think you really need to tell your faculty who are going to write these, what are you going to do with these, who is the audience that we are writing for, and I think Megan is going to talk about that with regard to USDA in just a minute. What I want to do in this session is, it's a workshop, right, so that actually means that I don't have to do the work, you have to do the work. So, Erico, there is a handout on the chair there. I don't have enough because I wasn't expecting more than 20 people to show up for an impact statement workshop. Glad to see this many. So if we can share some of these, that would be great. But that's just some examples of impact statements that I found at the Virginia Tech website. These are impact statements that I hope we can dissect. Nobody in this room was involved in writing any of these, so we don't have to be nice about it. We're not going to hurt anybody's feelings right here. And I'm not saying that these are bad. I'm not saying that these are good. They are what they are. So when you think about an impact statement, and we've heard this already, but the anatomy of an impact statement is pretty simple. So what is the problem that you're working on? What did you do? And so this is often the section where many of us go entirely wrong. And the term that I often apply to this is technobabble. We are really good at technobabble, and we don't recognize our own technobabble. It is really easy to see technobabble in somebody else's writing because you get tired of reading it, you can't quite understand it. When I write my own technobabble, I can understand that just fine. And that is one reason that you have to get someone else to read your impact statement, because they will tell you, if they're honest, if you're using technobabble. So, what is the outcome, the impact, and why should someone care? And all of this needs to be as simple as possible. So we heard about units, like don't use liters, use gallons. So with John Lee Cox, we worked on an impact statement a few years ago, and we saved 500 million gallons of water a year in a particular nursery. 500 million gallons, that sounds like a lot of water, right? But who knows what 500 million gallons of water is? Not me. You can't visualize that. So what we did with that is, assuming that 50% of the industry is going to adopt this practice, we can save X number of gallons, and this is enough water to supply the city of Detroit with its water needs. But now the reader has something that hopefully they can relate to. Enough water for Detroit, that's got to be a lot of water. I think if you can extrapolate that way and express it in a simple term that people can relate to rather than just a big number, that helps. So it's essentially the same. I copied this from the Virginia Tech website. When I googled impact statements, I actually immediately ended up on Linda's website, but I figured I'll let Linda promote herself. That's not my job. So I'll promote Virginia Tech. But it is essentially, so they provide guidelines for their faculty. Summarize in lay terms, the efforts, and I don't know that you really need to start with the efforts. You need to lay out the problem that that you're working on. But so you want to reach out to your audience, explain them what you have done, explain the accomplishments, And yeah, you are building support. So John was talking about this. You can reuse your impact statements in other ways. As part of the MIMES research project, which was on irrigation of ornamental plants, we put together a document that had a whole bunch of short impact statements in it. I have used that document as a grower article. I have used it as handouts at four grower talks. And it has been converted into Acta Horticultura publications. Talk about getting mileage out of that. So, and it was easy. It takes very little time. So, but you really need to think about who cares. So who is your audience and why should they care about what you do? And then at the bottom, no technical jargon. That is really important. So you start with a problem statement. What did you do? And what was the benefits? So, and John already mentioned this, but you can include quotes from your stakeholders, right? If you have a good quote, a quote from a grower, growers have a lot more credibility with the general public than any of us do, because we are just self-promoting if we say that we did fantastic things. If a grower says we did fantastic things, then people, I think, are much more likely to believe us. So what I would like to do is, on the handouts, there are three impact statements. I'm not sure if we'll go through all three of them. But I broke these impact statements into different sections, and I just want to see if we can look at these and see what we like, what we don't like about this. So this is about snow peas. Apparently there was an issue with leaf miners coming in snow peas from Guatemala. So this is the problem statement that I had. Comments? Like it? Don't like it? I didn't run this tool on it. I didn't know that existed, the reading level tool.
The name of a foreign country shows up too prominently at the front of the sentence. So I'm likely to think this doesn't really apply to me so much.
But I'll get to that. But yes.
We'll get to that, mm-hmm. But I fell off the wagon.
Already. And it's a pretty long sentence in my mind. It could have been broken up into sentences, which makes it easier to read. Yes?
How many refugees are imported from Guatemala to
A lot, apparently. I had no idea. they do talk about that in the impact statement.
This goes directly to who is the audience, but will the audience know that the leaf miner
That a leaf miner infestation is a problem? I think that's actually the wrong question. What in the world is a leaf miner? And I didn't know we mined leaves. Right? But how many people in the general public have ever heard of a leaf miner? Probably not too many. So it's an insect, right? People know what an insect is, a pest. So it could be simplified. So this is what I did. Oh, I see some shaking heads. What's wrong with this? I didn't pick these because they were bad, you know. I just picked them randomly off their website. Anyone from Virginia Tech? Nobody.
Good.
Yeah. I volunteered for this project, but they wouldn't take me. So, yeah, again, this could be a lot simpler, right? Taxonomic survey. Well, we all know what that means, I hope. But, again, the intended audience, which the Virginia Tech website actually doesn't specify. They don't tell you what the audience is, so that makes it difficult to write for your audience. But, yeah, this, too, could be much simpler. Don't be shy. You're not going to hurt anybody's feelings. It's a bunch of entomologists who did this. They're not here.
The binomial is just too much detail.
You don't care that it is Liriomyza hudobrensis? I didn't either. Right? It's an insect. And it isn't. So what is important about what they're saying here? The insect I found in the snow peas was already in the U.S. I think that's the one thing that actually matters, and that's really what what people need to know. And we don't need to know that there were Central Highlands in Guatemala. I'd like to go see them, but again, but you can really, if you have someone else critically look at your writing, you can really, really, and it wasn't passive voice, by the way, too. I'd love to run a reading level on this one.
Yeah.
It's very understandable to us. But think about your average state lawmaker. I don't know if yours are any smarter than ours, but I don't see that going well. I'm sarcastic. Some of you already knew that. Paul quit laughing. But again, so think about this when you're writing these things. Much too complicated. That is not their fault that this is long. I just had to break it up this way. And so these impact statements actually, in my mind, are somewhere in between an impact statement, because they are pretty short, and an impact nugget, which we haven't really talked about, but an impact nugget is really an impact statement in just two or three sentences. Thoughts about this? Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. If you want to take this to U.S. lawmakers, they're probably not concerned about Guatemalan farmers. I would definitely agree with that. So it says a little bit about what we lost. Reduced access to affordable and high-quality snow peas in winter time. Any other thoughts on this? Yeah.
Because of the intervention. Mm-hmm. That's smart.
Yeah, so we had our snow peas in wintertime. So they do tie it now to everybody in the U.S., right? Everyone who eats snow peas. So I thought that was good too. So someone asked, how many snow peas do we import? Well, $140 million worth of snow peas, apparently. I had no idea. What do you think about this?
People don't know what a product chain is.
Yeah. So, and you can define the importance of that market based on the $140 million, but I have to say that doesn't mean much to me. How else could you phrase that to make it meaningful to your audience? What could you do to make this much more accessible?
How many snow peas is that really, in terms of so many
pounds or tons of snow peas? Or what percentage of the U.S. market in wintertime, how much of that does come from Guatemala? Does this matter? Was it 2% of the snow peas, or was it 80? No idea. I'm sorry? Yeah. Yeah, so the 140 million is a big number, but it really doesn't drive anything home to me. Plus, we don't know who makes that 140 million. Apparently 5% of that goes to the farmers in Guatemala, but I'm not sure why that's in there, because why do we care how much of that goes to a farmer in Guatemala? And then I thought the last sentence was actually, I have no idea why we care what the overall trade is with Guatemala, 1.5 billion a year. It doesn't relate to anything else in the impact statement in my mind. They probably had a reason to put it in, but they didn't get it across in my mind. And again, this is so easy. It's so easy to pick apart somebody else's impact statement, and it's so much harder to do that with your own.
So, now they say that it maintains our billion and a half trade agreement. So, we know that Guatemala is economically and stable as one might think, and often horticulture provides some valuable economic and political ability. Is
Yeah, potentially. Maybe. So that becomes hard to quantify, right? But if we have a healthy trade with Guatemala, if we can keep that economy in better shape, I think for long-term stability of Guatemala, that's a good thing. It may even help address some of the illegal immigration issues if we can make sure that we maintain good jobs there. I don't think you're going to put a hard number on that, but I think it's an issue that is relevant. Yes. Well, I don't know that there was a... Then I don't know that we actually have time to go through the others, but you can read through these themselves. There is one other point that I really wanted to make sure that I could make. So from a faculty member's perspective, I write these impact statements. I submit those. And I have no idea what happens to them. But, well, I have a graduate student in the back of the room. I told her she really didn't need to be in this workshop, but she stayed anyway. But I think it is a good exercise to make your grad students write impact statements for their projects. And they can just make up numbers initially when they start, but get them to think about, why are they doing this? What is the long-term impact, other than getting a graduate degree, of what you're doing? Because all of us, including graduate students and their future careers, they will need to be thinking about the societal impact. But what I think is also really important is that as faculty members, we need to ask the people that we write impact statements for, what do you do with that? And I think administrators need to give us feedback. And if you tell us, we use your impact statement to do X, Y, and Z, all of a sudden I become a lot more motivated to write these, because I have no clue, and as far as I can tell, my impact statements disappear into a black hole, and it's just a nice picture. But I think that is how many faculty members feel about impact statements, and as long as we feel like that, we're not going to spend a lot of time on writing them. So I think getting feedback to the people who write these will really help in making these impact statements a lot better. Any questions, comments, thoughts? I think I'm pretty close to out of time, which is why I didn't want to dissect the other impact statements, but I think you get the picture. No? Thank you. So this is one where we really don't have any technical expertise. Parkinson's disease. So I don't know if the handouts are still in the room. People probably didn't take them with them, so we should have enough handouts, I would hope, for everyone to look at. And of course, Parkinson's disease is a great topic because pretty much everyone is familiar with it. We all know how devastating it can be. It's an easy topic to sell. Are people interested in doing this? Yeah. So, what do you think? Do you have the handout? I think we had enough. Yeah. I don't know about the environmental toxins. I don't know what that really means. Is that so? What they mean is pesticides. If you can pronounce it, it probably doesn't need to be in an impact statement. So I mean, all they really need to say here, I would argue, is two common insecticides, right? And even, they may even need to explain what an insecticide is, maybe. But yeah, which insecticides, who cares? They do, obviously, and you would if you would be doing this work. So that's the problem that we have. We care too much about what we do, and we expect other people to care too.
Everything that we're into.
Yeah.
The whole first sentence is very long. It has a lot of very long words in it. I'm trying to figure out a better way of saying it, but to me it's not a simple sentence for an average person.
No, and it's passive.
Yeah, and yeah, passive.
Yes.
Right,
yeah, good.
I sometimes run into problems with work like analyzing. The work changed out, that work is something similar. And then sometimes it came very good. The work has to know what is going exactly what is going on. For example, at the objective or the project, the demonstration plot is to evaluate. Well, you take that to test, it doesn't really, explain what you're doing. So, and that's just an example. Maybe you have what that you can suggest that you prime for it.
We haven't talked much about extension. So for research, we can often tell a pretty logical story. Hopefully, we do it simple enough. An extension, I actually think that if you do it right, and I'll use Neil Matson as an example. He's a colleague at Cornell, but he does a lot of surveys, and he does pre-workshop surveys, and then he follows up with the people who attended half a year later. And he does that for every workshop he does. And he asks them about a USDA term, change of practice. Are you doing something different now as a result of this? And he has great information on the impact that he is having that way. And I was really impressed when I saw what he was doing. It is a little bit more work, but you can really sell, though, what you're doing. I hear people say, well, in my program this really doesn't apply because my program is different. Well, if your program doesn't have impact, your department head might tell you, well, go do something different, right? It needs to have impact. Unless they do. So, why don't we leave this out?
Yeah, maybe you just say shown connections to Parkinson's disease.
You don't have to tell your audience that you're torturing poor puppies to do this, because that's not going to go over well.
In reality, it's going to be laboratory rats.
It's probably rats and mice, probably, yeah.
The thing is, people see laboratory animals, and they're thinking chimpanzees, they're thinking whole sorts of groups, and someone that has done research on that.
I think I would leave it out altogether. And what I love is the second sentence. We are testing the ability of insecticides to induce hallmarks of Parkinson's disease. Yeah, that gives me a headache. This could be so much simpler in my mind. And of course, here we once again don't give us chemical names. Yeah. I don't think so, because it's not going to mean anything to anyone. But so that's why you have your contact information at the bottom of that impact statement, right? If people want to know which insecticides that you actually look at, they can contact you and they can get more details. But permethrin and chlorpyrifos. I think so.
Yeah. And then, right, 2,000 insecticides. your link to your website, or they contact you directly, and then they can find out.
Yeah. I think it would help them to stay insecticide, but what they're commonly used for prevention is used as an insecticide in almost everywhere. I mean, it's a very common household crop. Those safety allergies, I have used prevention, maybe I've used it as an insecticide they're talking about.
And that way you go. So you go beyond the farming community and show the impact on society, which I think, yeah, is a good way to go about it. So there is another thing that really gives me a headache in this sentence. Who wants to take a guess at what that is? Yeah, did negatively affect with them, yeah. I know what that means, but... Okay, so they found that these insecticides can cause Parkinson's symptoms, right? And negatively affect.
Would it be essential to still retain the word specialized? Would it be specialized cells? Would specialized cells find anything specifically?
No, so this is what Linda was talking about. So these scientists are being very precise about what they found, right? So they're not saying that these pesticides cause Parkinson's. Specialized cells in the brain associated with it becomes really, really vague. So you can rephrase that, I think, to make it much more focused, much easier to make this relationship with why should anyone care about this?
But they might be a little worried about going too far.
Yeah.
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 And so they get to that here, but this study links is you can simplify that too. But so they do hedge their bets here. They're not saying that these pesticides are actually causing this, but they say they may. And yeah, obviously you don't want to go further than that. Yeah. Start with the problem and end with the first sentence here. That's what you're thinking? Yeah. Because that is really what matters, right? The first sentence here. And it's in pretty simple language. So this is an example that I mentioned previously. So they're trying to prevent the problem rather than solve a problem. So to show the impact of that, you basically need to show that, well, you need to prove a negative, essentially. If we don't get soybean rust, why does that matter? So thoughts on this one? What I like about it is there is a dollar value here right away, right? And it's a big number, $100 million that gets people's attention, I would hope.
And it starts off by explaining what soybean
rust is.
Yeah.
Those
are long words.
They're long words, but I think they're pretty clear.
Yeah.
And yes, they don't just talk immediately about soybean rust, because that will confuse people. Soybeans rust?
Now, again, you're asking people to do math, but 80% of $100 million is going to be lost to people that do math, and we're not good with percents. Maybe the potential is the wrong time. So would it be better to just say it was lost to the industry for as much billions of dollars?
Well, that is what they say, but I don't think they phrase that as clearly as they could.
Well, to me, someone's going to have to go, 80%
of $100 million, yeah.
do math.
So the potential damage to the soybean industry is $80 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it would be better to, yeah, just specify this much economic loss, this much, yeah. Yeah, so this is, what did we do about it? I think we can replace the first five words here with one word, two letters, we, right? Because I don't know what Extension's first responder educational program is. So we train 300 agricultural professionals in best management and crop protection, well, and how to deal with this disease. Something like that. Yeah, best management, so that's a term that we like, right, in agriculture, but that doesn't mean much to people outside of agriculture, I think. So this was the impact that I had. So in my mind, Stephanie knows this since I was her advisor. I like simple language and take out anything that isn't needed. So for because of Extension efforts, I know that they're proud of it, but it is their impact statement. So presumably we know that this was because of their efforts. But overall, I liked this one, especially because they were trying to solve a non-existing problem, or not yet existent problem. I think, and that was the end of it. That was also overall a pretty short one. Yeah. And maybe this one was better than the other two because it was written by Extension people who are probably, hopefully, better at communicating than the average researcher because they obviously do it on a daily basis. If you really want to dumb it down, we are now ready to deal with this threat.
Right. But also to say we're now ready, that's a stronger action.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to change, it's going to change. Yeah.
Yeah, we were not ready last year, but now we can deal with this. But yeah, it's so easy to look at other people's impact statements and figure out how that could be done better. And yes.
Or your children.
Yeah. I think, yeah, ideally, not even a colleague, but someone who is not familiar with what you're doing. And so what I ask graduate students is, why do you think what you're doing should be supported by taxpayer money? And then they look really confused. Because first of all, they probably don't realize that it's taxpayer money, because as a grad student, you think money just falls from the sky and ends up in your bank account, what little of it there is. But we need to get our students to think about this, in my mind. And I like to have my grad students, it's really difficult to get them to do this, but map out a budget for what the entire project really costs and all the money that goes into that. And they are shocked when they see how much money it actually takes to do what they're doing. And just the assistantship itself is $100,000. If you throw in tuition and benefits that they get, you're probably looking at anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000, and then they haven't done anything yet, right? And they've just been paid, that's it. And I don't think they typically, and I certainly had no idea when I was a grad student, but I think it's important for them, when they see that number, they realize, no, society is really investing a lot of money in me. Hopefully that will motivate them to make sure that we get some return on that investment too. I think that illustrates, in my mind, a bit of issues with graduate education in general, because what we typically tend to do in graduate education is that we teach our grad students how to get a thesis or a dissertation done, and we don't train them to become academic professionals or whatever their career choice is, or at least I don't think we do that as well as we could. I was talking to someone in the lobby this morning. We do 4 years of research, write a few papers, get a dissertation, and then all of a sudden we're qualified to teach courses, right? Because once you have a PhD, apparently you can teach. And that's another example where I think we focus too much on getting that dissertation done and not enough on training them to be the professionals that they need to become. To some extent, that may be similar to the first sentence here. They work on Asian soybean rust, but they make sure before they even mention Asian soybean rust, what is it? But I think in general, it's much easier for applied researchers to write impact statements than it is for more basic scientists. But hopefully, there is a long-term issue that hopefully that you're working on that is important to society or to the industry that you need to link this to. But I see impact statements from basic scientists where they talk about how the expression of a particular gene was altered by, who knows what, by Asian soybean rust. Who cares? Even I don't care when I read those.
So, I have a question for you on that. Is, in this case, sometimes you're making the research less expensive and more efficient. Mm-hmm. Is that a worthwhile impact statement for you that would reduce the cost of doing research?
Sure. I mean, I think that what he was mentioning was taxpayer dollars. So if you're going and you're using it more effectively and efficiently, that's valuable.
I mean, you're improving efficiency.
You make it easier for other people to do X, Y, and Z, right? So I mean, that can be an important impact, I think, if you help other scientists do their job better. You just need to be careful on how you phrase that. Yes? So maybe we should require an impact statement at the end of a thesis or a dissertation. But I think, now that you mentioned this, so when you have grad students and when they start applying for, if they apply for academic positions, I think it would impress a department where you're interviewing if you talk about your science and then have a strong impact statement at the end of that. It's definitely going to get the department head's attention, I think, if an applicant would do that. But I would say encourage your student to write trade journal articles. It's great exposure for them, but it's also good experience because now they have to write something in plain English. They have to leave out the technical detail that we all get so excited about. Yes? How much money do you have? What's your budget? No, that'd be cheap. I've got friends there. I know. I used to live there, so. You probably have resources within your college that can help you with this. I don't think we're going to do a roadshow. I don't want to speak for everyone, but.